This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee, and I'm sitting next to this brother, Brother Reza Islam, who I have so much love and respect for. He just did the show, and this man has literally blown my mind and gave me an alternate way of thinking and looking at our culture to make us better. So, he has this product right here he's telling me about, and I just want you to give me some information on this.
Yes, sir, absolutely. Well, first of all, I appreciate being on the platform, brother. Well, this is intellectual power. This is a brain supplement that primarily targets four areas: that is brain and nervous system health, that is digestive health, immune health, and reproductive health. 13 ingredients from the island of St. Lucia. It is vegan friendly. The capsules are vegetable capsules. You have ingredients like sensitiva, vervain, patchouli, you have sea moss, bladderwrack, you have soursop. All of these are in there. So go to intellectualpower.net. I created this for the overall health of our people. Solutions, not just talking about it, being about it.
Well, I'm gonna tell you something. You just gave me a bottle, and I'm gonna give you my word. I'm gonna take it the way you said it, and I'm gonna give my report.
Please do.
And I'm gonna give it to you first, and then I'm gonna give it to the people. But I want to try it because I just love who you are as a man, and I'll take it. If you say it's for us, I want it.
Appreciate that.
Let's go. My brother, thanks for coming on the show.
Absolutely. Intellectualpower.net, y'all.
Let's go.
Peace and love, it's Rick Broomfield.
And this is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee, and welcome to The God Show. And before we get into it, I want to shout out our sponsor, shout out to Two Loss Distribution, shout out to Loreco, and shout out to Tote & Carry. If you need luxury bags, go to toteandcarry.com. She's telling me I sent you. I promise you to take care of you. Shout out to you guys for watching. We appreciate the like, the sharing, and all of those things. That things help us grow this show, so thank you. And today we have a very, very special guest. He reminds me of one of my favorite characters in one of my favorite TV shows. And I wonder if anybody told him, but I want to talk to him about that also. But I want you guys to give it up for someone who came in here with the respect. He moved like the president. They not playing. The security not smiling. I'm glad you smiling right now. Sir. We can smile with you. Yes, they are serious. I love it. Let's give it up for Brother RZA Islam. Let's go.
Nice to be here, man.
First of all, thanks for coming.
Absolutely.
You're going to give me cool points with a couple of my uncles because, yes, you know, they be trying to tell, why you don't talk to people who are serious? Like, they always having fun. I'm like, oh, I'm just trying to, you know, educate.
Yes, sir.
You know
yes,
what I'm saying? But thanks for coming. But I want to ask you, how do you become this person, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that, and I'm saying it, and I hope you know what I mean, because I tell everybody, my audience, I'm like, in order to be successful, you have to create a character, right? Mm-hmm. And meaning like, and that's not being fake, that's developing yourself. Like, I'm gonna open my mouth and speak a certain way, and if I can't, I have to dress a certain way if I want people to take me serious. I wanna be a doctor, I can't dress like a rapper. Mm. You know, so how does this character like come together so well? Like, what, like, were you like that as a kid? Like, I'm just curious, when I meet brothers like you, I'm always curious of like, how did you become Brother RZA Islam?
Very good question. Well, the first thing I'll say is, being born and raised in Compton, California, the youngest of 10 children, seeing everything from Bloods, Crips, gang banging, drug dealing, drug using, my own family being affected by pretty much everything our people are affected by, it directly affects how you develop.
Yeah.
So you go in either the right or the left.
Yep.
There is no middle ground. Normally. Mm. You go to the extreme right, the extreme, either you're involved in all that,
yep,
or you fight against it completely.
Yes.
With me, I got involved at a very young age, very, you know, small things, smoking and drinking, did all that before I was 9 years old.
Mm.
Make that real clear. So a lot of y'all late.
Yes.
All right. Ben did that. You know, but I had my little brush with that, very small. My family went through all of it. Older sister was on crack cocaine on Skid Row for 16 years. Thank God she made it through and she is sober now. Oldest brother I saw in him used to come home. He died over a drug deal. Mm. Other brothers got locked up in prison. Stepfather locked up in prison. So we literally have been through all of that.
Mm.
It is not on you, it's in you.
Yeah.
It depends on how you want to use it.
Mm.
We can make an excuse and say I'm a product of my environment, or we can say I'm going to change the condition of my environment. I became, I would say, almost hateful of our condition. That's all.
You resented it.
Resented completely.
So
because of what I saw happening in my own family.
I feel like I'm different from my family because that's me. I'm like, I read a book, Russell Simmons, his book, he says that people aren't bad, people just learn from what they experience. And either they're going to be more of what they experience, or they're going to run from it. That really helped me understand, because I'm 20 years old reading that 21, the kind of that you see, you don't have to be what you were taught to be. It's it's a conscious decision to change. So at what age did you decide,
Nine. 9 years old. Now the other thing is, it was a concentrated amount of everything.
I was about to say, it was
concentrated.
Was it a moment? Like, can you remember the moment when it was like, no, never?
First thing I'll say, I was raised praying. First of all, I was born in the Nation of Islam. Here's the difference. A lot of people, you know, either come in, etc. But I was literally born.
You didn't move here.
my last name literally is Islam. It's not a character. It's not a stage
name. Oh, wow. That's crazy. I was born with the last name Islam.
That's another thing people don't know. Fire. My name is literally Reza Islam. It just, I guess, sounds so nice.
For sure.
And they think, man, that's a, you know,
sounds
character.
Like a moniker. But it sounds really like a moniker. You.
No, that's really my name. So it's not the character. It's not a persona. That literally is your brother. So I was raised praying to the East. In Arabic before I knew what I was saying in English. So that's how I was raised. I was raised vegetarian. I was raised, like I said, family of Bloods, Crips, but very intelligent people.
Yeah.
Game banging, you name it. All of it, we went through it, but very smart people. My mother was a naturopathic doctor. Hardworking black woman. One of the smartest, I believe, at the time. She was ranked number 19 in the United States when it comes to IQ.
Oh, wow.
So, no, I'm serious. This is born and raised in Compton, brother. So, again, when you talk to people about their history, you find out, man, okay, people really went through certain things. You find out who they really are, and then you can see who was who.
Yeah.
Who adopted it, who wears the clothes versus who it is a part of their being.
Yeah.
Who they truly are. And shout out to either person. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
If you decide to change later on, I'm cool with that. If you were born doing it the right way, whatever it is, at least you're doing something positive. Yes. That's all that matters to me. So at this point, brother, I'll just say that's pretty much where it is for who I am. I was literally born doing this, but at that very point where I said I'm going to do something about our condition was at the age of 9, when I was going to an after school program for tutoring on my schoolwork. And I was a bad child, right? So I was taught how to crip walk before I was 5. y'all ready? Okay. Crip walk before I was 5. Like I said, smoke and drink before I was 9, stealing hubcaps. Had my picture up on the wall in the liquor store in Compton because I was stealing candy.
What?
So they said, don't let this child in here. They had a little black and white photo because they shook my little hoodie and all this candy fell out. They called my mom, but that's back then when they knew who your mama was.
Yeah.
And they just called down the street and they say, you look, your little child, and we're going to call the police. Nah, we'll come get them, etc. So I've been through all of that. But at 9 years old, I was at a program for schooling, for homework, you know, dealing with tutoring. And they asked me to help this little girl on her phonics. And I said, okay, I've never been asked to do something positive, right? I always been applauded for doing the negative. You know how it is. Go out there, do that thing. Okay, they asked me to help this girl. I said, all right, fine, whatever. Helped her with her reading. She looked at me and she said, you really helped me. She was 6 years old. I was 9 years old.
Yeah.
And this feeling boiled up inside of me that I never felt before. Like, damn, okay, I got acknowledged for doing something positive. Okay, I like this.
Yeah, you like the way it felt.
I like the way it felt. For and sure. This is in the middle of a classroom full of folks, older, younger, middle age, all in different conditions. Communication issues, parenting issues, a lot of brothers who are illiterate.
Yeah.
I'm talking about OGs, 40s and 50s, who are functioning illiterate, can't read or write. I was seeing all of this and I realized, damn, if this is happening in our neighborhood, is it happening in other neighborhoods? Are other people on drugs? Are other people victims of gangbanging? This is what I was thinking at 8, 9, 10. I said, okay, if this is what it is, I don't like it and I want to change it.
Yeah.
That's what triggered it for me, brother.
Can I ask you a question? What's your sign?
Pisces.
We have this thing here. We have really smart people.
I was like, brother, hold on now.
No.
The show done took a turn.
I was asking you because, you know, like, put like this. The team knows that means I'm impressed. Because that means, what am I hoping, guys?
He's a Virgo.
I'm hoping
he's a Virgo.
That's my mother's a Virgo.
See? We somewhere in there. We somewhere in there. Yeah, so we always, because I always try to, like, you know, obviously, you know, we're men now, but I always look at the kids and I'm always like, what was it about that kid? Like, I have the same story. I remember my mother was promising me a car.
Yes.
And she was like, my income tax check come. And we waited and we waited and it finally came. And for some reason, they took it. I remember sitting next to her on the couch. I can remember her face. Like, she was on the phone and she was like, the chain opened up and it was nothing. And she was like, I got to call you back. And I remember being like, I'm never gonna let that happen to us.
Yeah.
I'm never gonna let someone else be in control of how we eat.
Yes.
And my mother didn't even know it. Like, she didn't know that I had this in me. But I, when that, whatever that fire is, mm-hmm. that's in you, and I tell this to anybody watching, whatever that fire in you that, that's in you, that's, don't ever let nobody put it out. Mm-hmm. If it triggered you enough to make you be something, focus on, keep that at the forefront.
And absolutely.
Don't let anyone change or why are you acting like that? Because, you know, mm-hmm. what people don't understand is that in our world, when you're from the hood, mm-hmm. that's why I love Kendrick's album, Good Kid, Mad City.
Absolutely.
I love that because absolutely. They try to paint the picture that just because you're from a bad environment, you're a bad person.
That's not the truth.
And it's like, I'm not a bad person. I just, this is just my only option. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I love that you said that. So what was your, when you decide that, like, what did you start doing differently? Like, mm-hmm. how did you make the change? Like, how did you develop that?
First thing I started doing was working with our people on literacy skills. Mm. So I was teaching more of our people on phonics, reading and writing, the basics of English, ABCs, you name it. That was the main thing because that was the biggest problem I saw. It didn't matter what hood people were from. You're talking about between Compton, Watts, Southgate, Gardena, Carson. The same thing was the problem. Brothers who were older couldn't read or write. Women who were older couldn't read or write. Even people who were in their teens couldn't read or write. Mm. That was a big issue. Okay, if you have a person who doesn't know how to understand words, who can't speak or read words, you're gonna have a problem.
Yes. Yeah.
Criminality comes from that. People can't read contracts.
Yeah.
People don't know how to read books, take on ideas or thoughts. Then you have the ego side of things. When we used to do popcorn reading. All right, y'all, you read over there. Okay, you read. Okay, when the time comes to me, man, all right, I gotta go to the restroom.
Yeah.
But why don't you get up and read? Man, I ain't trying to read.
I want y'all to laugh at me if I say a word wrong.
So that ego starts, you know, and so you have a lot of brothers out of here who dealing with that, a lot of sisters too. All of these were issues that I looked at because if you have a person who can't read or write, they will not be able to understand, therefore they make bad decisions in life.
Yeah.
That's it.
For sure.
So that was the biggest core. That's my foundation.
For sure.
As you said, the fire is a mission being created inside of you. It is your mission. It ain't got nothing to do with what somebody gave you.
Yeah.
This is what's in here.
Yeah.
This is what drives me. It's not about money. It has never been about money.
Period.
It is about doing what is right, doing what you are born to do, what you feel gives you meaning, your purpose. That's what it was, brother. But I'll tell you, from that point, it was the literacy. Then it was drug education. Because now you're dealing with people, okay, they can't read and write. Well, damn, if they can't read and write and they're on drugs, they can't read or write nothing or comprehend if they're on drugs and they're high and drunk. Nope. Okay, so now you got to deal with that. Now I'm educating people about different drugs, alcohol, marijuana. You're talking about cigarettes. You're talking about pills. You're talking about, you know, inhalants, dealing with paint and all this kind of stuff. Everything affecting our community. So now you got to understand, what does that do to the body? Now you got to look at biochemistry and biology. Okay, you're doing all that. All of this, brother, in my teens.
That's crazy.
Is what I'm doing with the people in a classroom from the age of 9 on. That's what I was doing at an after school program. That is what your brother has been doing. This is long before Instagram was invented, before Facebook was out, before MySpace, TikTok, Twitter, before any of that, your brother has been doing that. So what I have done is brought the work from the community onto social media. And some of us have done that.
Yeah.
You know, while it's the opposite for others. And again, it's okay. But the point is, it's a mission, brother, that develops inside of you. And everybody who's watching, you know somebody in the hood who does good work.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, the majority of real people doing work in the community are not even on social media.
Nope. They're too busy working.
Yep. So shout out to all of those who are in the world doing the real work. People on social media too, appreciate that. But those boots on the ground, I salute you more than anyone else.
You want to go? Yeah. Okay. So I was going to ask you. So growing up in Compton, like, I'm being honest with you. For some reason, I'm being honest. This is my ignorance. When I see... I always felt like Muslims, the Nation of Islam, was an East Coast. It just felt very 5%er.
I can see that.
You know, like in the hood, 5%er, Philly, New York. Like it felt. And then when you say even 19 Keys, who was just up here, it was like he from California too. I didn't know that there were militant black men like that in California. I did not know that, bro.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Muhammad Mas, number one, when you talk about the Nation of Islam. When you're talking about Detroit, Michigan, Black Bottom Detroit, that's mosque number one. So it was in that area.
Yeah.
It started there. Then you're talking about, you know, Mariam in Chicago. Then you're talking about all these other areas, Philly, et cetera. Yeah. Then it moved west because our people moved west.
Yeah.
So everywhere our people are, the truth is going to hit them. So the West Coast, brother, we the Wild Wild West for a reason. There's a reason, right? And again, this ain't no coast banging.
Yeah, for sure.
Because we are one nation of people.
Sure.
And I'm thankful that they didn't forget us out here, out west.
Yeah.
And just say, oh, let them niggas just
for sure.
have problems. No, no, no. No, they need the truth too. And so, again, my family was raised in Islam. Mm-hmm. Like I said, my last name literally is Islam. We all have Arabic names, literally.
Yeah.
So it's a serious thing, and not only militant, brother, but now you got to talk about the gangster side of it, because now you're talking about Compton.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So now you have what's called gangster Muslims.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I about to say, you know, watching the movies back, Boys in the Hood, you never saw.
That's the idea.
I saw, what's the guy named Shalik with the bald head? Sharif. Sharif. And they were telling him, Sharif, shut up, man.
Right,
he's
right.
Like, bro, stop eating that pork. Shut up, Sharif. Right. They're like, he didn't even have a prominent role. He just was there to be brother told Sharif. That. So, yeah. Brother
no
Sharif.
Friend,
but
yeah. No, that, but that's the reality where you have people who are, they come from the gang life, and now they are coming into the truth. Ooh. And some people have a hard time letting that go just to get into that righteous life. So sometimes, you know, people have a hard time with that balance. But eventually, again, we get into the righteous behavior. But I say gangster Muslim, not as a term to water down
for sure
Islam or the nation. I'm saying that is the circumstance that the people have to grow through.
Yeah.
You're going from one position. You can't tell a person, okay, just turn it off and be completely different the next day.
Yeah.
No, they have to grow through it. Ooh. So sometimes that militant thing, you know, you will take as a gangster game banger when he's like, nah, brother, I have to push this line in a positive way like this, because if I don't, I'm falling back into that, and I don't want to go back
for
to
sure.
that. So that's, you
like
know, the
extreme
reality.
Discipline almost.
Absolutely,
like you have
sometimes.
To be, because especially in the environment, like I'm like, I remember when I was talking about making it, my family was like, shut up.
Yeah.
What are you going to make it? You ain't got no talent. Shut up.
You know,
like
fight against that.
That's the hard part. People don't understand. The hardest part of being a role that you play is not only trying to lead a mission, but also fighting against your own people who are like, what? Like, nah, bro, I'm trying. It's really, sometimes I know you want to quit. I know you're not.
Absolutely.
Some days, because I often want to quit. It's like, oh, it's trying to educate you guys, and y'all are so worried about the wrong thing. I want to ask you a question, and this is probably not a smart question, but I believe in asking questions because I know, but I know in my head, and I've never asked out loud. What is the difference? And I know there is a difference. Can you explain to people who don't understand the difference between being a Muslim and the Nation of Islam?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a difference, right?
Absolutely. Well, I would say there's a perceived
difference. There's a perceived difference. I just want to understand it.
The word Muslim simply means one who submits his or her will to do the will of God.
Mm.
That's it. If you say, I want to do what God tells me to do, okay, by definition, literally, you will call yourself a Muslim.
Mm.
Okay, that's just definition.
Got it.
Now, then what you actually do in action will speak to whether or not you are that. But the Nation of Islam, and particularly, you know, people refer to them as, you know, black Muslims in the West. When you say we are black Muslims in the West, okay, because we don't have the beards.
Yes.
And we don't wear the jellabiya.
I don't know if it's an American thing or black. I didn't know. That's why I was asking.
For the most part.
Yeah.
It is for the most part because now people, you know, you have some people say, well, you know, you're not a real Muslim if you don't grow a beard. That has nothing to do with Islam when it comes to qualifying you to be a Muslim.
Got you.
So that means God is going to disqualify you because you don't have no hair on your face.
Got you.
There are over 1 million Muslims who don't grow facial hair.
Yeah.
I'm talking about actual men whose face a lot of
us I can't.
Do you see what I'm saying? So
I can't grow.
So you can't be a real Muslim, brother, because you can't grow facial hair. You see what I'm saying? That's how petty.
I'll put a weave on it though. I'll put a weave if I have to.
You say it.
I'll think about it. I have to. I'll put the not the spray.
Right.
Not the spray. But I will. If I have to, I will.
Man, but that's it's really sad how we get into this spiritual game bang.
Yeah.
Rather than you congratulating your brother for even taking on a righteous life.
Yes.
And saying, man, alhamdulillah, you know, all praise due to Allah. Thank God, brother, that you at least are striving to live a righteous life and you call yourself Muslim.
Yeah.
Rather than saying, oh, you're not a real Muslim because you don't speak like that. Okay, stop.
Yes.
First of all, black men and women in America, we are not Arabs.
Let's
make this very clear. Because what you have people mixing the culture with the religion.
That's what I'm asking. I'm trying to
completely
understand
different. Yeah. Brother. Culturally, when you say Arab, okay, that's jellabiya, meaning it's the dress-looking uniform that Muslim men wear because that's an Arab cultural thing.
Ooh.
Same thing with the growing of the beard for the most part, or wearing the kufiya, that's a Eastern, Middle Eastern cultural thing. Now, in America, why are we in suits?
Yeah.
This is a question.
Yeah.
Why are we in suits? Well, the Honorable Mr. Farrakhan said, first of all, the men of this world are businessmen, number one. Ooh. And number two, the suits that we wear are so that we can represent our people in the best of manners in this society, because this is the culture we are in. So when you look at the people in America, when you see men in business suits, you know, okay, they are at this level. This is how it's perceived.
Yes.
People say whatever they want. You go into law in a courtroom, you're looking at the person with a suit on. If your lawyer came in with some khakis and some Crocs,
I'm going to jail.
You'd be like, I'm going to jail.
I'm going to jail.
See, now that's clear.
It's over.
Right? So you have to dress in the highest manner of the culture where you're going to. When people go to the Middle East, they go to Dubai, they go to certain areas, they put on that cultural garment. I'm talking about our people.
Yeah,
they go over there, they put on
that. Can't wait to go Instagram and take a picture in front of. They can't wait.
They can't wait.
They don't even know what it's called.
In a large mosque. They can't say it in English. They don't know what it is, but hey, brother.
Look how cool I'm in Dubai.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. So let's make that very clear. So again.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Being a Muslim simply means you are submitting your will to do the will of Almighty God Allah. Very simple. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the information that he was given, the teaching that he was given and brought to us, the history of Islam, the truth of that, the divine mathematics. When you brought up Clarence 13X, also known as Father God Allah, you're talking about, you know, the what is referred to as the father of the 5% nation of gods and earths. He was an FOI in the nation of Islam. See, so what I don't do, I don't get into spiritual game banging. I say, all praise due to Allah that you are a striving righteous person, whether you call yourself Muslim, Christian, Hebrew, Israelite, Moor, Pan-Africanist, whatever it is. Guess what? Brother Reese is not into the division. What you're not going to do, and you definitely won't do it in person, is try to get me to be divisive against our people, because this system considers us to be Negroes.
Yes.
Whether if you call yourself whatever label you choose, that is what we are to them. So what I'm into is the business of uniting our people regardless of the label. If you are a person out here doing better today than you were tomorrow, pushing against smacking somebody, trying your best to help people and not hurt people, I salute you, and that is all that matters to me. The Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, what is the greatest religion? He said, doing unto others as you would have others do unto you. That's what he said. He didn't even say the word Islam. Just treating others the way you want to be treated is the best religion. So, yes, sir.
You guys have, and I'm saying this respectfully, like, so let me tell you, you ever seen Malcolm X?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm the character that ran up the character that ran up in Malcolm in the restaurant. So I ain't never seen no nigga with no.
Oh, yes, sir.
I'm that character.
Right? No,
I'm that character. Because I'm like, you know what I'm saying? Because because it's like the respect that this, you guys give the suit, right? When someone has the FOI as their protectors, they're telling you, I ain't playing games with nobody.
Right. Absolutely.
Right? You guys have created the perception of the suit. To me, the suit is perfect because it says I'm serious.
Absolutely.
I'm not here to play with y'all. I don't care if it's 99 degrees outside. I'm gonna be out here
selling
y'all fruit. I don't care. I'm not real talk. And we always respected those guys. But I want to ask you, why do you think it is? And I know, but I'm just curious. Why do you think it is that there are other side of America that tries to paint the Nation of Islam almost as like anti anything. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's all propaganda and agenda. When I see it, I hate it. And I always wish I was at the table because I would have read it so bad. But I'm just, I hate that they, because if you guys were like walking around, pants sagging, then I could, but it's like these guys, exactly. Then it's like, arrest them. But you guys ain't doing nothing illegal. It's just we here representing our people.
Yes.
Why do you think that is in our country that they look at us like that? They try to paint that picture.
I believe when it came to COINTELPRO, it said the greatest threat to the United States is Negro unity.
Unity.
Mm-hmm. First of all, unity, not uniformity. Mm-hmm. Meaning we all got to dress the same, walk the same, talk the same. That's uniformity. Unity, meaning we are all on the same page going towards a certain goal.
Yeah.
The problem is discipline is something that is a prerequisite to unity. Mm. If you have a group of disciplined men and or women, the image looks good, it's crisp, you know, you cannot mess with them.
Yep.
The likelihood of you taking on that idea is very high. Mm. And the likelihood of you fighting against an enemy is very high. The likelihood of that enemy convincing you to destroy yourself and your own people is very low. Mm. So what they have to do is they have to destroy the idea, destroy the image, destroy not only the man or the woman, but destroy the entire concept of a disciplined group of people who have self-respect, self-sustainability, don't care about what your government got to say. We have our own farms. We have our own schools. We're going to grow our own food. We're going to protect ourselves. That's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem. No. Sag your pants, nigga. Smoke and drink, nigga.
Yep.
This is what you know what it is. Yep. Like, let's be clear. Sure. We are from the hood.
Let's
but be real. They cool with that.
Yeah.
But the moment you say, nah, I'm gonna have a little discipline, even when you're wearing casual clothes, but they crisp, they good, and you walking in, you know, stomach in, chest up, shoulders back, mm-hmm. you a soldier. They're like, something different about this Negro. Get him out of here.
It's
very simple.
I was gonna tell you. So just a quick story. How I got here while I'm doing this podcast, I was like one of the best executives at a major record label. Mm-hmm. I did my thing. Like nobody put up, I understand that. I don't talk it, I live it every day.
Absolutely.
I wrote a letter called Dear White Music Executives, right? And it was
I need to read that.
Oh, no. It went crazy.
I just like sound.
It went crazy, but then that was the first time that I think white people in the music business saw me as black. Like, they didn't see me as
an executive.
They didn't see.
No, because you addressed them.
Yes, exactly. but it almost feel, and by the way, then I'm like, I'm not begging him about it. I'm too good to go ask somebody to do something that I'm great at. Michael Jordan ain't never asked to play basketball. You couldn't find somebody to beat me first. So then I was like, put a camera on me and then I'll go viral. Now I have more power than all the A&Rs. I have bigger voice than all of them. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to, but it hurt me because I was like, all I was trying to do was show you guys. And by the way, the letter's called Dear White Music Execs, but it was explaining the black experience because the George Floyd uprising was happening. Mm. And they basically said, they did a call and they was like, all the black people, it's 200 of us on the call. Mm. And a white CEO says, all the black people, if you guys want to speak now, we want to hear how you feel. Mm. And no one said anything. So I wrote him the letter like, let me explain to you the black experience. We're taught from little, you're going to have to work twice as hard to make half as much. Things that we could, that's things that every black person has heard in their household. Mm-hmm. When we see the top, it's always, when we see the top black person, they always answer to someone white.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So I'm just giving facts.
Yes, that's fact.
But I became public enemy number one.
Yes.
And for me, it's like, that's when I was like, by the way, and I still don't have hate in my heart, mm-hmm. but the fact that you don't like me because I'm trying to give my people the same opportunity that you're able to give yours is a very telltale sign of the insecure ways you see us. Mm-hmm. I didn't even think that we were superior until that moment.
Come on, brother.
It was like, I was just happy to work with everybody. Then I'm like, well, damn. I just said I want to tell you a little, like, and then I became that. So I salute you because I hate that when they try to paint anyone as pro-black as anti anything else.
Right.
And if you haven't grown up in the hood, like I saw my father snort coke.
Come on, bro.
I remember asking him, Dad, please don't do that no more. Mm-hmm. And he promised me to his dying day, he never did. He told me he held his word. I seen that. Dog, when I made it out, I almost discovered a new world. It's like when you open your mind, it's almost you're discovering a new way of living that is as aligned with who we are, but it's less violent.
Yes.
It's more love, it's more success. And all I wanna do is show my people that, and that's why I never want to go back in, cause I'm like, y'all wanna silence me.
Yes.
I'm a superhero, bro. Mm-hmm. I am a picture of what's possible if you do right. Mm-hmm. And y'all hate that.
Of course.
It's so weird to me. And then they wonder why we have to move how we move, and we can't smile mm-hmm. with y'all because y'all, we, if mm-hmm. you accept us, we'll love you. But it just feels like every time I try to dress like you, have my kids have get the same access that you have, mm-hmm. that's when I'm your enemy.
Yeah, because it becomes a threat. Because here's the unspoken rule. You can do well, you just can't do better than we are. That's all. You can do great, you just can't be greater than we are. You can get rich, you just cannot get richer than we yes. are. It's very simple. And it's not all white people that think like this.
I know
a lot of them can't stand their parents.
Yes.
And they try to run away from their ancestry exactly. because of what their ancestors did, and they do their best to try to change and make it better now. So I can acknowledge that. However, when you are referring to the system that we're dealing with, the system is based in survival.
Ooh.
Its survival depends upon how many people it can keep down, so that it can garner enough support within its own to maintain its self-survival and bringing itself up.
Yeah.
That's all. We're trying to argue morality and appeal to the heart of a system that doesn't have one.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
Mm.
It's like there's no logical, we can love them into, we can. Listen, you better shut the hell up and
yes.
understand what you're dealing
yes.
with here.
Yes.
That is all.
Yes.
Get what you need to get, separate from the system, establish everything for yourself, believe in yourself and your people, get what I believe Most High Elijah Muhammad said, 5 to 7 like-minded people.
Yep.
And Minister Farah Khan said, unite now because our people are the most difficult people to deal with.
Mm.
And he said, this is why we must love our people more than they hate themselves.
Mm.
It's a very difficult circumstance.
That's really hard, by the way.
Very.
Because they're leading with ignorance.
Yes.
And you're telling them the thing you're leading with is the one thing that's killing you.
Yes.
Like, I'm trying to show you, it's almost like you almost damn got to take them to the roof like Joe Clark did.
Yeah.
Jump off the roof, just smoke crack, don't you?
Right.
Just do it. Like you got to almost do that for them to be like, damn, I don't want to smoke crack no more.
No, it's real, brother. That's Some of our people need tough love, but they have to be, I would say, made an example in a positive way where we don't want to hurt anybody.
Yeah.
But sometimes you have people who are doing their best to defend this system to their dying breath, bro.
Mm.
It is a serious thing.
I want to say something, and I heard this on the radio. I'm only going to repeat it because I heard it, and I understood it. And when I say it, people always feel like, well, whatever. But I'm like, I want to say it to you. So I heard a very prominent radio person. This is in 2015 when Trump was running for office.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that he was speaking to some of his white friends, and they were saying that Trump is to white people what Farrakhan is to black people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and they said, and by the way, I understood that, right?
Absolutely.
Because Farrakhan is that uncle
yes.
in the house, or that grandfather, the father in the house is like, you can't afford. Like,
yes.
it's almost like the discipline we need to be successful as
yes.
young black men. But they said it in a way where it was like, I understood what they were saying, but how do you feel when you hear that? Like, I'm just curious. I got to ask you that.
One thing you notice about your brother when we're talking, I don't go into feelings. I go straight to the facts.
Perfect.
And I'm okay with that. Donald Trump has a loyal following of over 80 million people.
Mm.
I'm not talking about Donald Trump, the president. I'm talking about Donald Trump, the man.
Yep.
This is why they've been calling him Mr. President.
Yes.
Since he's been president.
Yes.
When they compared him to Minister Farrakhan, it was dealing with consequence, condition, and influence. I understood that.
That's why
they were trying to paint it in a negative.
That's why I was trying to get you to see.
But I understood.
But I'm glad you said it, because I wanted to make, because I know people take it as negative,
of course.
I'm like, you got to pay attention to the parallels. Yes.
No, he has influence over the masses of white people for the vast majority that people need to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
You have to pay attention to that. See, your emotions are a problem.
Yeah.
Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Minister Farrakhan teaches us that we must rise above emotion into the thinking of God. Well, God means one possessed with force and or power.
Yeah.
So you have to think.
What's good, y'all? This is Ray Daniels, a.k.a. The Culture Referee. And I want to ask you, are you ever frustrated with uploading a video to YouTube and you get no views? I know I was when I first started. If you're a music artist and you have your own podcast or your content creator, look no further. WAM Promotions has gotten you covered. They specialize in high-end targeted YouTube campaigns that deliver real views, real subscribers, and most importantly, real growth. So if you're struggling with real organic YouTube growth, I'm here to tell you to go on WAM Promotions and use the promo code GODS and receive 20% when you check out. Tell them Ray sent you, you got 20% off. Let's go, guys. I'm looking to see you guys on the charts. Let's go.
Mathematically, who are you dealing with?
Yes.
So then you can determine the outcome. You can project the outcome. You can look at time. You can look at place, form, and event. You can look at the minute, the second, the hour, the days, the months, the years of what can happen if we don't do X, Y, and Z. That's what you have to do.
Yeah.
Think mathematically.
Mm.
Okay, you're looking at this man. All right. Well, yeah, he has a lot of influence over these white folk. Well, who has that influence over black folk? Farrakhan. Okay, simple.
Mm-hmm.
Simple. I get it.
Yep.
Farrakhan has more influence over the masses of human beings on a planet completely.
Yes.
More than Trump.
For sure.
Collectively. That's a fact.
Absolutely.
But again, as far as if the minister decided to press that button.
Yes.
And activate something. Yeah, Donald Trump has a similar button.
Exactly.
For his group of
yes.
people.
Yep.
I absolutely agree.
Yeah.
That's not, oh, reason you voting for Trump. No, yeah. I don't care to vote for Trump.
Honestly,
I don't trust Kamala either. Yeah. I know we're going there.
Oh, I want to hear that.
Lord have mercy. And I am a black man.
I would say you are blackity black with a
seriously.
CB4 black. Brother, remember CB4? Right. Blackity black, and I'm black, y'all. I'm black, y'all. And
I love this brother.
Like, come on, you CB4 black, bro. Like, I want to hear this right now.
Put that clip in. I know. That's hilarious. Oh, man. Yes, sir. No, brother. I have to mention that only because there's this big misunderstanding. Your brother's, my major in college was political science.
Mm.
You know who knows politics and who doesn't by how fast we speak.
Can you expound? I want you to just talk about that.
Very much so.
Look, bro. I'm putting my mic. I'm pushing my mic from my face. I just want to hear you talk about that.
The basics of politics are voting is not what gets a person placed in office.
Mm.
It is money.
Yep.
And those who have the power to control and influence. Very simple. That is the first thing. If you're talking about voting, but you're not talking about the electoral colleges, you're losing a person.
Mm.
You're talking about voting, you're not talking about the final clubs, you are losing a person. Final clubs are the grooming groups that are on college campuses that choose people who are going to be the next DA, the next Supreme Court justice, potentially, the next president, potentially. Yes, these are the ones who work with
that.
Yes, final clubs. Yes. These are you have to know exactly how they move.
I want to tell you something. Just to pause. I'm going to just say that. You could tell that I went to junior college and Chad went to real college.
Right now,
Chad is like, they do. And I'm like, nigga, when?
Right.
I'm like, look, brother, I'm like, hold on, they do that?
For real.
He like, yeah, I'm like, okay, that's we know you have the highest IQ in the room on my team. Let's go back to that.
And I will mention, too, I didn't graduate from college. I didn't graduate, and I went to Compton College. So shout out to Compton College.
Shout out to Compton College.
Simple as that. I wanted to make sure I let that, because some people are like, man, what college you graduate? Compton.
Yep, for
sure. Is on the back of my name when it comes to my education. Now, when it comes to all of these things, when you're looking at final clubs, when you're looking at electoral colleges, these are two major areas you have to look at, because my question that I give to every podcast hoster and everyone who's in the room is, why would a nation consisted of over 330 million people give the power to the average public person or citizen who they don't believe is intelligent enough to tie their own damn shoes to put a person in office who is going to affect their lives and yours?
Yes.
If they don't think you are smart enough to even know what you're eating or reading labels, why would I give you the power to put somebody in there who's going to mess up my life?
Yes.
We have to think here.
Yes.
To vote means to wish etymologically.
Yes.
So if you just say vote, 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 you are a fool. I'll just say it that way. If you don't put money behind your candidate, you will not get one. What you will get is a person who looks like they're going to fight for you, but they are fighting for the person who pays them.
Yes.
That's how this goes. The number one thing you must do when it comes to looking at specifically presidential candidates is, who is funding them? Who are their funders? Not, oh, Ariza, I like the way she dress. I like the way he talks. I like the way she puts hot sauce on her chicken. You know how embarrassing
so
that is?
So simple-minded.
Oh, I like the way she seasoned up or cooked up her collard greens.
Yeah, yeah.
Salty.
If this ain't the most, I mean, brother, this is some slavish behavior.
Because you're owned by somebody.
Brother,
somebody owns you.
Come on now. And same thing with Donald Trump.
Yeah, same thing
with
him.
That man lies so much.
Yeah.
Yes.
He'll tell the truth every now and then. She'll tell a truth every now and then.
Yeah.
But again, politics, the basic nature of it, as the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, politic means multiple bloodsuckers. Double entendre, y'all get?
Yes, yep.
It's a hip hop platform.
Right, yep.
Okay, good.
Bro.
So you must know what you're dealing with here when it comes to politics. Reason, are all politicians bad? No, of course not. But the higher up you go, the further they are away from the people, the closer they are to corporations. That's how this goes.
Ooh.
They are funded by AIPAC. If you don't know who AIPAC is, you should not have no conversations about politics when it comes to a presidential candidate if you do not know what AIPAC is.
Ooh.
The American Israeli Public Action Committee. This is a group of people on behalf of Israel who control and fund politicians in America to benefit and sign policies into law that benefit Israel.
Exactly. That's why every time a politician go up there, they say, I will defend Israel at. That's always
because they are paid to say that
and
to bow down.
By the way, and she could have easily said, and I'm going to protect all African Americans too.
Could have.
But that those people probably be like, nah, we don't pay you for that.
Brother, absolutely not.
Right. I asked you to do
absolutely
that now.
Not.
You say this and you end this.
Yes.
Brother, so what you're referring to now is a foreign entity controlling a domestic candidate to the benefit of a foreign nation and who has not registered with the foreign nation's agreement. So this is a group inside of America, not from America, controlling the policies in America. Brother, you got to know when you're dealing. Now you're dealing with double agents. Now you're dealing with espionage. Now you're dealing with reverse CIA tactic behaviors. This is above conversations about just color.
Yeah.
You don't even want to talk about policy, let alone international affairs, foreign policy. Most of y'all don't even know what the hell is happening because you're too busy talking about, she a black woman, just vote for her. Don't ask no questions.
Yeah.
Or they, Donald Trump is going to benefit business owners who make six figures or more. No doubt, because he's not a president first. He's a businessman first.
Yep.
So right. I understand.
And by the way, people who are not emotional understand that. I've sat at the table with my financial advisors and you know, when you around, like, I want black people to know, when we together, it might be a little different now because, you know, no money is out now, but back in 15, 16, if you said Donald Trump's name, you had to whisper it.
Yeah.
Because it was like, so I asked my financial guy, I said, yo, bro, this is why he was in the White House. I was like, yo, is he a good president? And he was like, for businessman, he said that's why he's going to always have money backing him because he makes the laws that benefit businesses.
That's it.
So that's it, exactly.
Brother, it's not about color. It's not just about money. If your only reason for voting for a president is for money, you will lose a whole lot more than what you could ever imagine if money is the only reason. Mm. You are talking about the representative of your entire nation. Mm. Whether if you don't identify as an American or not, I'm with you on that. But when you are talking about voting in the representative, even though, by the way, that's not your representative, that's not the person who controls a nation, that is not the person who runs any damn thing. So we know that. But if you're going to yell and say, vote for this person without looking at the fact that they are funded by pharmaceuticals, funded by oil and gas, funded by AIPAC, funded by vested interest groups who already have policies written down right now. They already know who they're going to put in office right now. Mm-hmm. Just so we can be very clear, while most of you are on the internet going back and forth about who you should vote for and not vote for, guess what? You ain't got no power. The people who already decide to put the person in is already putting them in.
Yep. For sure.
So what the hell are you going back and forth for? Why not go back and forth about how we should help our communities and continue to build within our communities? Because that is the same thing you're going to be arguing about after November. So do it now. That's my biggest thing.
So it's two things. I'm sorry, man.
Like, go ahead, bro,
I hate
please.
That. We got to do a part 3, 4. I love talking to you, bro. But you are invited anytime.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job or your deodorant or your lunch or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.